Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
How do I know if what I'm hearing is from God? How do I know that this feeling that I have, or this thought that I have, or this inspiration that I have, how do I know that it's from God? Anyone here ever struggle with that from time to time? Well, as I've thought about this, the truth is, we have to begin with this first step to check the foundation. The reason so many people struggle with hearing God is because we have so many false foundations, so many faulty foundations, so many things that we think are actually of God, but they're really not. I've shared with you before that one of the biggest pieces of spiritual advice that I got as a small child was something that's not in the Bible at all. It was, my mom used to tell me all the time, God helps those who help themselves. That was a huge thing that was communicated to me. And so as we think that God helps those who help themselves, that's the sad thing is it's not part of Scripture. And the essence of it is that we would become more self-reliant. I mean, the truth is, there are times that we create situations and we create problems for ourselves because we refuse to wait on God. And if you remember in Scripture, you can go ahead and click that one, Kate. You can remember in Scripture there was a gentleman named Abram. Later his name was changed to Abraham. And Abraham knew that God wanted to bless him, and that through his offspring all of the earth was going to be blessed. And so there was this time frame where his wife still hadn't conceived and born a child. And so he actually kind of fell into this category. Well, you know, I guess I've been waiting and nothing's happened. It's time for me to make something happen. And I know that we're all guilty of that from time to time. And what we see with Abram is Abram goes to Hagar, and Hagar gives birth to Ishmael. And from then on, Ishmael becomes a thorn in the side of God's children. If we trace that all the way down, even to our modern society, you know, that's the foundation of the descendants of Ishmael, gives birth to an entire mindset that has been in war with Christianity. It's been in war with Judaism. So we find that when we embrace this thought that God helps those who help themselves. And I get it that we're not supposed to be passive. I get it that we're supposed to do our part. I really do. I'm not saying that we don't do our part. I'm not saying against, James says that faith without works is dead. We have this thing about ourselves that we like to get ahead of God. Can we all agree with that? It's hard for us to sit back and to wait. And because that is inside of us, and because that's part of our nature, it clouds our ability to clearly discern God's voice because we're so used to filling in the blanks. How about this one? You've all heard this. Money is the root of all evil. Y'all heard that? Money is the root of all evil. There's a problem here. That's misquoted. And the reason I chose this one is because this is a verse misquoted. The verse is, anyone want to throw it out? The love of money is the root of all evil. It's an enormous, enormous difference. And so I reason that the foundation is that I think a lot of our foundations are based on assumption, or wrongly quoting the Word of God, or partially quoting the Word of God, or flat out misquoting God's Word. Taking little bits and pieces and then making them the foundation. And to be honest, you know, the love of money being the root of all evil is tied into this first one, which God helps those who help themselves. So when we would much rather do for ourselves rather than having faith in God's ability to do for us. Remember, Jesus had a conversation with a rich young ruler. And through this conversation, this young man came to Jesus and said, "Master, teacher, what do I have to do to have eternal life?" And ironically, it's kind of odd because Jesus then begins to turn him back towards the law. Which, that's never been how Jesus operated. Jesus didn't push people towards the law except to point him towards him as the fulfillment of the law. And he said, "Look, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this." And the young man responded, "Look, I've done all of this since I was a young man, and there's still a hole in my heart," is the inference that he gives. And then Jesus brings this into focus. He says, "One thing you lack. Go sell all your possessions, give them to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven." And it says the young man went away sad. The truth is that he was loving something more than God. So now, is money the root of all evil? No. Money in and of itself is not evil. The love of money gets us off track with God. And it causes us to be independent from God. We speak to person after person. "Oh yeah, I need to get my financial house in order." Why? Because then I will have peace. Brother, I guarantee you this. Money comes and money goes. And you can think that your financial house is in order, and in one instant, it can all change. But your eternal security is something that is found in Jesus Christ, and nothing can take it away. And we struggle hearing from God when we have our foundations wrong. When we're more reliant on ourselves and reliant on God. This next one is kind of a burr in my saddle. This thought of God wants me to be happy. It sounds good, doesn't it? You know, if we say, does God want me not to be happy? Well, the whole thought is we have entire moves of Christianity, entire movements of Christianity now, especially in the United States, that are based on this concept. Let's make people happy. In fact, nothing can debilitate a church faster or pull a church off of being intentional and raising disciples and making disciples than this fact and this truth. It's not about God wanting us to be happy. How many of you are happy when you eat ice cream? Or I said in second service, how many of you like Krispy Kreme donuts? Man, yeah. And they're godly. They're holy. There's a hole in every one, right? Yeah. And the deal is, okay, that's great. Do they make me? I can honestly say that eating a fresh, hot light on Krispy Kreme donut makes me happy. After the first dozen, it still makes me happy. So obviously, does God want us to be happy? That's an extreme example. Bottom line, you're not going to be healthy. That's not at all healthy. That doesn't have long-term success. That's going to tear you up. And when we consider this, there's this philosophy, this thought that's going through the church right now that's really dangerous. And it sounds like this. I am the center of God's universe. You see, we can chuckle and we can laugh. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, it is real and it is healthy and it is all across the church. Somehow we've got this narcissistic concept that God is here to do our will. We have Christian authors writing book after book after book telling us, here's how you get God to do what you want. And so the concept needs to be flipped around that no, in fact, it's not about God wanting me to be happy. It's about God wanting me to be holy. And when I say holy, I'm talking about set apart or sanctified or in right relationship with Him. And that I am not the center of God's universe, but I flip that around and I say God becomes the center of my universe. God does not revolve around me. I am not the focus. God is the focus. And here's why I put this out. If our foundation is wrong, I promise you, you won't be hearing the voice of God correctly. The reason I'm pointing this out is because these things put us in the wrong posture. It's like turning your radio station to the wrong dial. I don't like country music. And every time my wife's in my car, I turn it on, it's boom, 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 boom. But I'm like, ah, you know, quick, turn the dial. She likes that stuff. I don't. And thus, when she gets in her car and I've been driving it, she kind of berates me for my musical choices. So it goes both ways. God wants us to tune in to Him. And so we have to check our foundations. How about this next one here? Follow your heart. Sounds good. Sounds like a Hallmark card. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. You've heard me, and again, this is not something for those folks that are part of our church family. You know that this is a common thing that I say all the time. No. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9 tells us pretty flat out about our heart. The prophet says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your desires. Don't follow your emotions. Lead your heart. We live in a society and we have a generation of individuals. That's all they do is follow their heart, is follow their own desires. And when we do that, we put our wants above God's. We can't hear from God. We're in the wrong place. We haven't tuned our senses. We haven't trained our ears to hear His voice. How about the next one? God will never give you more than you can handle. We say this to individuals who go through hard times. We walk up to them, we put our hand on their shoulder, and we say, and it sounds good. Hey, you know what? I want you to know God will never give you more than you can handle. No. He always gives us more than we can. That happens all the time. He never gives us more than He can handle. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus has some tremendous words. He says, Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened." Jesus never comes and says this. Hey guys, suck it up and deal with it. Because it's not more than you can handle. Come on, quit whining! Bear it! That's not how God functions. That's how we have been raised to function, is to say that I'm independent of God. I am not reliant. Everybody say reliant. I'm not reliant on God to be my strength. Where Jesus' words in Matthew 11:28 are, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and what am I going to do? I'm going to give you rest." And then He goes on to say that you can cast your anxieties, your cares upon me, because he tells us that that's what He's here for. And so we don't hear God correctly when our foundation is off. Our radio station is tuned to the wrong dial. We are so used to relying on ourselves first, let alone our concept of heaven and hell. Is my foundation really on God? Or is my foundation on a religious tradition? Or is my foundation on pop culture? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. And let's get some wisdom here. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making..." I like that. Here's our active verbs again. "Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your ear to understanding." In other words, our part is to incline, to make our ears attentive to God's wisdom. Verse 3, "Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding." Verse 4, "If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures." I love these first four verses because that's what it means to lead your heart. Verse 5, "Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard your heart, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in all their ways." And so Satan's path from the very beginning is to try to get our foundations off of God's truth. This is not a new strategy. We look at Genesis chapter 3. In the garden, we have God who gave a directive, who gave a word to Adam, to Eve. He said, "Look, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat." And what's the first thing that happens? Satan comes to Eve. And he questions God's word. Did God really say? And then he kind of misquotes it. Guys, that's the importance of knowing God's word to be able to hear His voice. There's a direct correlation. It got Eve in trouble here. She didn't She was drawn into this debate about, okay, did God say this? She quotes it back, and then now that she's engaged in this questioning of God's word, the tables are flipped. Well, you're not really going to die. And then God's character gets flipped, and we see it in our society today. Personally, I told you last year, I would identify more instances of animosity towards the Judeo-Christian God concept. It became this evil, wicked thing. And it's troubling to my heart. But I'm not surprised, because it is a sign of the end times. And so we go through that Satan began to question Eve and began to pull them out, and then said, look, here's the truth. God knows that if you eat of that, that you're going to be just like Him, knowing good. Well, now all of a sudden, God's the bad guy. I'm tired personally of listening to our society talk about how bad Christianity is and how horrible it is, when the truth is Jesus' message is of love and of reconciliation and of sharing eternal life. See, guys, Satan wants to get us off that foundation. And once that's accomplished, then we see he can misrepresent God, and he paints God in the wrong light, and he robs us of our purpose, and he perverts who God really is. And that's why it is so difficult to discern God, because that's the day and the hour in which we live. Why is it difficult to discern God at times? Well, we just said it. Number one, the opposition of Satan. Number two is that God's voice is often contrary to our fallen, selfish human nature. I'm selfish. We are all selfish to certain degrees. Would you admit that? God's ways are not ours. That's what the prophet Isaiah says. As far as the heaven is from the earth, that's how far high my ways are above your ways. So it's something different. It's something unique. But the number one reason that I believe that it's difficult to discern God is because God made it that way. And some of you are like, what? God made it difficult? Why would God make it difficult to hear Him? Because He made us not like robots. He didn't create us to be mindless robots. So in essence, did God create the difficulty? No. God gave us free will, and the difficulty came as a result of our free will. That's why the wisdom in Proverbs, the wisdom in Psalm 1, is that we seek God's counsel and we seek God's voice. So many people sit back and just wait for God's voice to come to them rather than actively seeking it. So in 2017, First Christian Church of Pittsfield, my beloved church family, visitors, guests, friends, all of us, I want to edify you in this. Seek God's voice while it may be heard. Go after hearing God's word with a passion and with a fervor. As we read in Proverbs 2, go after it like silver. Go after it like treasure. Invest, send resources, finding the voice of God in your life. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. But he goes on to say, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you'll know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he is who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever knows not God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So some quick criteria for you throughout these next few weeks as we begin this season, we try to get it off on the right foot. Some keys to confirmation. How do I know that it's God's voice that I'm hearing? Couple quick things. Number one, does it honor Christ? Does it point towards Christ, or does it point to my independence? Are the things that we claim are from God don't require faith? No. I mean, the voice of God never causes us to become independent from God. It causes us to become more dependent on God, even if that means having to step out and trust Him. Next one. Does it line up with God's Word? And this is huge. This is why we have to know God's Word, not bits and pieces of God's Word, not part, not misquoted, not taken out of context. We need to really understand God's Word because God will never, everybody say never. He'll never tell you something that contradicts His Word. I've had people come to me for marital advice. I've had people come to me for financial things. I've had people come for me for decisions in their family. And quite honestly, many times it's because they'd already made a decision in their heart that went against God's Word, and they were trying to talk themselves into saying it's okay. And that's why they look for their counselors. Oh, I got to find someone who will just agree with it. And the bottom line is no. Does that mean that we don't make mistakes? No, we make mistakes. But own your mistake, okay? If I made a mistake, okay. And to be honest, let me just deal with the elephant in the room. There are many times, and I'm going to say many because just being honest, that we make decisions that are flat out rebellious. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying if we want to be honest with each other, it happens. Yeah? Well, is that an excuse that we gloss over? No, it's not an excuse at all. I'm saying it's real. And when we acknowledge it, we find grace and we find out that we don't make ourselves right in God's sight according to how right we walk. We are right in God's sight because we receive the forgiveness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we really allow that to happen, it transforms us from the inside out so that we want to please God. We don't see God's Word as burdensome. We see them that because He loves us, I want to be just like Him. The walk with Christ is a continued transformation. And I don't think anyone in this room, including myself, we haven't even got close to arriving at Christ's standard yet. So we got some room to grow. Does it line up with God's Word? How about the next one? Is there a confirmation with godly counsel? Let me pause on that for a second. God always brings a witness. Always has a witness to what He does. Now, what I have found about godly counsel is that there are times, as I alluded to in my previous point, there are times that we go through everybody until we find somebody who says what we want to hear. Right? There are times that someone will tell us something. I didn't like what they said, so we go to the next person. What do you think on it? That rubbed me the wrong way, so I throw them out. And I go, and I keep going through my entire list until I find someone who says what I want to hear, and then I say, aha! That's the voice of God! No. Here's my philosophy, and I'm going to tell you it's my philosophy. God brings counselors into my life. I seek what I want to hear, but God brings witnesses. Does it bring peace? Now, peace does not mean success, because there are times that you will hear from God and you will obey God and it will lead to failure. Impossible. God never causes us to fail. Sure He does. And God picks us up in our failure. Since when is success, since when is success an indication of being right? Think about, seriously, let's take how church functions here in 2017. If you had a church of 7,000 men, and the preacher got up and preached a communion sermon, and then all but about 50 got up and walked out, that next week he would be fired, wouldn't he? No? Yeah? Come on. Yeah? Guess what? You just fired Jesus. Ooh, boom! I mean, Jesus gives a sermon. I mean, he's done miracles, and man, the place is 7,000 people. Men, just men, okay, are in there. We got probably 15 or 20,000 people now, and he preaches this one message: unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And they're like, whoa, we're out of here. You just pressed our comfort zone. There are times in life that you can do the right thing, and it doesn't work out well. That doesn't mean that you didn't hear God. The same way, there are times you will do the wrong thing in rebellion to God and it will work out well. Don't be a fool and use that to justify that you heard God correctly. The witness comes from obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience to Christ our Lord. And finally, does it bear fruit? In other words, is fruit coming, spiritual fruit coming out of my life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Are these things flowing out of my life as a result of the things that I'm hearing? That is a huge indicator that we've heard the right thing. So in conclusion, John chapter 10, Jesus says this in verse 1 through 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. The sheep do what? They hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. Brothers and sisters, that's what I want to leave you with today, is God is talking. God is talking. Our high schoolers, God is talking. Our junior hires, he's talking. Our grade school kids, he's talking. Our seniors, our adults, everyone here. I need you to know that God is not silent. It's time for us to listen. Check your foundation, get into his word, and let's listen. There has never been in my lifetime a more critical season for the church of Christ to hear God's voice than the season in which we live right now. I dare say souls are in the balance, and we've got to get this right. Let's stand to our feet. Join me as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us today. And Master, as we come before you, the truth is that many of our foundations, to be honest, are probably faulty. And so God, we pray for a correction to come into our lives. Help us to love your word. And God, as we read in Proverbs 2, help us to lead and to seek after your counsel, your truth, just as we seek after silver. Father, thank you that you are gracious. And even in the times that we have been in error, when we come to you and we find mercy and we find truth, Father, don't allow that grace to dissuade us from striving for righteousness. But rather, Lord, help us to be encouraged all the more to press into your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults and a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.